next couple of weeks from church activities beyond the norm. And then as we get toward the end of the month and end of December, we've got a lot of things coming up, a lot of opportunities for fellowship together, beginning with the ladies' tea on the first Saturday in December. And then we've got the movie night. We've got the cantata night. We've got something else I'm missing. Christmas Eve service. We haven't even talked about a church family dinner that we generally do. We can find a night in there for that. So there's a lot of things coming up over the holidays, and we hope you'll join us in all of them and share in fellowship together with us. Let's open our Bibles this morning as we get started in our Bible study to the Gospel of Matthew, where we've been starting for the last several weeks. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, and this is our kickoff portion of Scripture to get us started in our Bible study today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 8 to 30. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, I trust this morning that you will anoint me with your Holy Spirit to share the word that I believe you've given to me for today, to encourage your saints, your people in this little church family, in our own spiritual journeys with you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the invitation to come. And we thank you for the abundant life that you have promised to us if we will indeed give our lives to you. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. We listen to you today. We trust that you will speak and we will have ears that are sensitive and willing to hear and receive what you have to say to the church. Father, I pray that even if what is shared today is convicting, God will not turn it away. But we will embrace whatever your scriptures say to us, that our lives might be strengthened and purified, made whole and fulfilled. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, all of us go through things in life from time to time. We have various experiences where things happen to us, typically things that are beyond our control, often things that come to us from other people, things that inflict wounds and injury to us, things that people say to us, things that people say about us, things that people maybe do to us. Sometimes maybe these are things that are innocent and no harm was intended. Sometimes maybe they were done with malice. Maybe there was intent to hurt us and inflict a deep hurt or wound in our heart. But we all go through these things in life. Sometimes we go through things for a long time. Sometimes they're just brief. Sometimes they're just a one-time occurrence. But all of these things that work into our lives, they typically shape the character of our heart. They shape our thinking. They shape the way that we think about one another. They often shape the way we think about ourselves. And the words that people can speak to us can be very powerful. In fact, towards the end of the message today, I just want to share with you, and let me just share it with you now. I think we have missed in the body of Christ one of the greatest bridges between the natural world and the spiritual world. We're a part of both. You understand that today, don't you? That we're natural human beings, but we're also spiritual human beings. We live in the natural realm and we live in the spiritual realm at the same time. And we're not as conscious of the spiritual realm unless we deliberately make ourselves so. We're more conscious of the natural, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can touch, and all of these kinds of things. But that doesn't mean that the spiritual realm is not there. Brother and sister, it is surely there. In fact, everything that is a part of this natural realm has come out of that spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is the superior realm. It is the realm of power. It is the realm of authority. And you and I as believers who live in both realms, both natural and spiritual, can operate according to spiritual principles and spiritual laws that will affect things in this natural realm. I'm on a little rabbit trail. I won't go long. But there is a bridge that you and I need to understand and you and I need to recognize that ties us between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And I want you to hear it, because you may not even be consciously aware of it. The bridge that ties the natural and the spirit, the bridge is the ability that we have to speak words of communication and life or death. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we release spiritual life or spiritual death by the words that we say. Emotional life, emotional death. Boy, you can say words to somebody and it'll encourage them, it'll build them up, it'll just make them feel like $1 million. Or you can say words that'll just cut people to ribbons and make them feel like nothing. And all you did was speak. All you did was use your lips and tongues. And you changed somebody's life and somebody's thinking by the way you use those words. And the reason that you do is because spiritual power is released by the words of our mouth. That's why Jesus says over in Mark 11, we'll read it in a little while, Jesus says, speak to the mountain. If you believe in God, speak to the mountain, and God will drive the mountain into the sea. You see, spiritual power is released by the words of our mouth. He didn't say, think about that mountain. He didn't say, think at it. He said, speak to it. See? And so spiritual power is released by the words of our mouth. And that's how we're tied to the natural and spiritual realms together. And there's a spiritual realm of power that you and I can walk in that will produce life or death, depending on the choices that we make, the choices that other people make, to speak positively or negatively into our lives, affects us spiritually and emotionally. And we've all been in the situation where people have said things or where people have done things and we become offended, we become hurt, we become wounded. Sometimes when we become offended, we get offensive and we offend back by the words of our mouth. We get angry and mean-spirited and we lash out. Sometimes the words that people speak to us cause us to become defensive and cause us to be insecure and cause us to be oppressed and suspicious and paranoid and depressed, all as a result of the power of words that are spoken to us or against us. But we've all been through certain situations. Certain things have happened to us. Certain things have been said to us that have shaped us and made us into the people that we are, good or bad. And I want to talk to you today about how we can take those words and the wounds and the scars that have been formed in our hearts by the words and deeds of others against our lives. I want to talk about how we can turn around the adversity that has come as a result of those wounds that have come into our lives. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, try to make a little sense out of it for you today. How things shape our lives. Let's say there's a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and they have marriage problems, and the guy, this is all hypothetical, the guy is unfaithful, he cheats on his wife, and so they get a divorce, okay? And of course, always often in a situation like that, all kinds of words are flying, and mean-spirited things are said, and people are hurt. And so here's this precious woman, and she's been hurt by her unfaithful husband, by what he did, by things that he said to her, and now she bears some deep emotional scars, hurts, and wounds. Okay? But she goes on with life. She meets another guy. She decides they want to get married again. So it's his first marriage. The woman, it's her second marriage, and she's coming into that marriage with some hurts, with some wounds, with some scars. Now, maybe she's forgotten about it. Maybe she's suppressed it so much, she's buried it so deep inside, she doesn't even realize she's carrying the wounds and the scars and the hurts that she has in her life from that previous marriage experience. She thinks she's okay. She comes together with another man. They get married. And the marriage starts off okay. Things look good. And then one day she goes to visit him at his office. And she sees in his office there's another woman in there, and the husband is talking to this other woman, and they are laughing together. And the wife sees this from a distance, and all of a sudden from the inside rises up all of these old feelings, this old hurt, this old wound, And she begins to get suspicious of what's going on between her husband and this other woman. And there's nothing going on. It's totally and completely innocent. But because she has been so hurt before by somebody who has failed and disappointed her and said things to her, she bears such deep hurt and such a deep wound in her soul, she becomes suspicious and she becomes angry at her husband for spending time with that other woman, even though it was completely innocent what was going on. And when he gets home that night, she just rips into him for what she saw. It's all subconscious on her part. She doesn't realize why she's doing what she's doing. But she just rips into him. And he doesn't understand. Where is this coming from? What is this all about? He's not aware of the hurts that she was harboring in her heart when she got married to him in the first place. And now all that hurt is coming back to the surface by something that he did that was totally innocent. Okay? But you can see in a scenario like that, where the hurts and wounds of a woman's past shapes the person that she is and affects her future and her future relationships. A business situation. Two guys are in business together. They're friends for a long time. They've invested a lot of money together. One of the guys takes the assets, takes all of the money and runs and leaves the country, leaving his partner with debt, and the business goes belly up. He goes bankruptcy and he lives a terrible life for years before he finally overcomes it. And he's got all of this hurt and this pain about the way that his friend treated him. And he moves on with his life and he thinks he's gotten over it. Until he goes into business with somebody else. And now he's suspicious of his other business partner, of his new business partner, because of the way he was treated by the first partner. He never got healed. He's got emotional scars, emotional wounds. And so he's very suspicious. And that suspicion causes friction between he and his new partner now. And so then they begin to have a bad relationship. And things don't go well for the two of them either. And they have a falling out. You see how the wounds of the past can affect our present and our future if we don't do something to get healing for our soul. To get rest and healing and peace and joy in our heart and in our soul again. Well, is there anything that you can do to get healing? The answer is obviously yes. Jesus has invited us to come to Him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. And so I want to talk about this morning how we find that rest. Isn't it good to know that our God wants us to be healed emotionally and spiritually, to be secure and joy-filled, and to experience a life that is fulfilling and satisfying and filled with the peace and the joy of the Lord? And we found out over the course of this study over the last several weeks that one of the great tools of the enemy to rob us of the joy and the peace that the Lord wants to give us in our life is a spirit, hear me, is a spirit of unforgiveness. An unwillingness to let go of offense that's happened in your life. Not just to forget about it, not just to suppress it, but to really release it through forgiveness so that healing can come to your heart and soul and you can be made whole again and move forward in proper relationships. When other people have offended us, if we don't forgive them, typically what happens is we stew over it, we meditate on it, we dwell on it. The more we think about it, the madder we get, the more hurt we become, the more likely we are to start hurting other people, to become suspicious, to become paranoid, to become defensive, and all of these kinds of things because of the hurt of our own heart. And then we destroy all kinds of other relationships in the process. And so what we found out is that harboring bitterness and harboring unforgiveness in our heart really hurts us more than it hurts anybody else. We think by harboring unforgiveness, by not letting go, we think we're hurting the other person, when in reality, we're really hurting ourselves. I want you to look at this verse at Proverbs with me again. I know we've read it twice already, but I want you to see it again until we get this in our heart and get this into our soul and see this spiritual truth from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, that bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart hurts us more than others. We do ourselves an injustice, a disservice, by harboring bitterness in our own heart and in our soul. Look at verse 17, Proverbs chapter 11. It says in Proverbs 11, verse 17, the merciful man, that's the person who shows mercy, who shows forgiveness, okay? The merciful man does himself good. Or your translation may say, does his own soul good. By showing forgiveness to other people, you're doing good to yourself, to your own soul, because you're releasing that offense so that it no longer torments you. You get set free from it, and you get to have victory over it. But the cruel man, that's the man who harbors bitterness or offense and won't forgive, won't let it go. It says the cruel man does himself harm. When you harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting anybody else. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that bitterness and unforgiveness causes us to miss the grace of God. And Jesus taught us in a parable in Matthew chapter 18 that if we don't forgive others the way that we have been forgiven, Jesus says in that parable, he says that we make ourselves subject to illness, depression, and calamity. These are the results of having a bitter and unforgiving spirit towards somebody else. We open the door for illness, for depression, and for calamity in our own lives when we don't forgive and release an offender who has done something against us. Jesus taught us, we looked in, turn over to Matthew real quickly, Matthew chapter 6. In part of our prayer study on Wednesday nights, in the early part of it several weeks ago, we saw from Matthew chapter 6 and other places, and in fact we'll look at two of them today, Matthew chapter 6 and Mark chapter 11, where Jesus teaches us a spirit of unforgiveness will hinder our prayer life. If we're not walking in forgiveness toward everybody all the time, then we hinder our own prayer life. And listen, guys, I don't know about you, but this answers a lot of questions for me, okay? So why we don't get a lot of answers to our prayers? It's because our heart is not right with God when we pray. Matthew chapter 6, in verses 9 through 13, is the very familiar Lord's Prayer. And we're not going to take the time to read. You know that, I'm sure. So we're not going to take the time to read all of that. But look at what he says, just sort of as an add-on, in verses 14 and 15. After Jesus gives us the model prayer to follow, he says in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father also will forgive you." Now look, we're not talking about eternal life here, okay? But we're talking about a fellowship with God, and then a fellowship with other people. And what he's telling us there is that when we forgive, then our fellowship with God is sweet and it's pure. But look at verse 15. "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Again, it's not talking about eternal life and salvation, but it is talking about fellowship. Okay? And we sever fellowship with God when we don't walk in forgiveness toward other people. Look over at Mark chapter 11. Maybe I can't eat your sausage gravy before preaching anymore. It's just... I'm going to have to take it home and eat it afterwards from now. Maybe you ought to be up here, brother. It's good. Again, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Eat less of it, is that what you said? Darling, it's all or nothing with me. You know, I'm all in. It's either... there's no halfway in between. I got to go all in. All right. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus is speaking with his disciples. This is the day that he's ridden into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. He's been ministering in the temple. Now he's talking to his disciples. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered, said to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, in other words, for this reason, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be given to you. Now, guys, that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful, what Jesus just promised. Look what he says there. He says, whatever you say, whoever says to this mountain, and again, say it to the mountain. Don't think it. Say it to the mountain. I'm convinced one of the devil's greatest weapons against us, where prayer is concerned, is to tell us, you don't really have to pray out loud. Just think it in your mind. God can read your mind. And so we won't pray out loud. And I'm telling you, brother and sister, there's spiritual power released by the words of our mouth if we will speak our prayers to God. If we'll speak our prayers to God. Okay? Particularly when we're talking about spiritual warfare. And we're talking about overcoming the devil. You better get loud. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil can't read your mind. That's why you need to tell him. That's why you need to speak to him with authority. In the name of the Lord, the Word of God. And we need to learn that just as a discipline, to speak the Word of the Lord. To pray the Word of the Lord. To use our mouths and our lips. And to say those things that God puts in our heart. He says to us to speak to the mountain. Tell it to be taken up and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, that mountain will move. That mountain will move. It's on the basis of that principle of the authority of the spoken word that he says in verse 24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you will receive them, and they will be granted to you. The authority of the spoken word in prayer. The power of God is released by the words of your mouth so that God answers your prayer. But again, look at verse 25. If you have anything against anyone, your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. Do you want to receive answers to your prayers? Do you want to see God move the mountains in your life? Then you've got to be willing to walk in a spirit of forgiveness toward everybody all the time, toward anybody who has offended you. Now, somebody always says when you say you've got to forgive people all the time, it's always the first thought that comes to most of our minds is, but you know, you really don't know. Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. You don't know how long I've been going, walking this road. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know how badly they hurt me. You don't know what they've been saying about me for years and years. And you don't know how deep the wound is. And you don't know how much it's affected me over my life. What those people did and said to me. And you say, forgive these people? How can you say that? You just don't know. And let me just say two things about that. First of all, number one, you're right. I don't know. But look, guys, I'm not the one telling you to forgive. Jesus is. And you know what? Jesus does know. Jesus does know everything you're going through. Everything anybody has ever done to you. Everything anybody's ever said about you. No matter how long it's been going on. Jesus knows. And Jesus says, forgive. Forgive. And the second thing is this. If you don't forgive, it's going to keep on tormenting your life and hurting you and robbing you of the future that God wants you to have. See? So let me just share some things with you this morning real quickly. How is it possible for us to get to that place where we can actually forgive everybody all the time of the things that have happened in our lives? And the first thing I want to do is to help you to understand that you can do that. Often we respond, well, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You need to realize, first of all, and let me just share a couple things with you this morning. You need to realize, first of all, God never ever tells us anything in this word. He never tells us anything that he doesn't intend to help us do. Nothing. If God tells you, and this is a spiritual principle that applies to everything God ever speaks to you about. Anything God tells you to do, it is his intention to help you do it. To accomplish it through you. Anything. If God says, go to the mission field. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, next week you are to leave for Liberia or someplace else in the world. If God speaks to you about it, God's going to make a way for it to happen, and He's going to provide for you so that you can go, and He's going to open the door. God is going to do whatever He tells you He wants you to do. He's going to do it through you. If God says that's a bad habit in your life, you need to drop that bad habit. I can't. Yes, you can. Because if God says to do it, He's going to help you to do it. If God says drop a few pounds, oh, got personal there, didn't He? Did you know that God will help you do that too? God will help you do that too. Anything God asks to do, make a big donation, tithe. Some people think, well, I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The word tithe, by the way, some people are not aware, the word tithe doesn't mean just an offering. It means one-tenth. And the Bible says one-tenth of our income is holy to the Lord and should go to Him. And I know everybody says, well, that's Old Testament, that's under the law, and I'm under grace, and I don't have to do that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Brother and sister, you don't understand grace, if that's what you think. Okay? Grace doesn't mean you don't have to obey God anymore. Are you kidding me? Does grace mean it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, murder? Of course not. Of course not. Grace is certainly brings forgiveness when we fail to obey the Lord. But grace, listen, grace is the power of God that helps us obey the Lord. Grace is the power of God's Spirit that changes our heart from a have to a want to. Here's what we think. We think in the Old Testament it's you have to, and in the New Testament you don't have to. No. In the Old Testament you have to, but in the New Testament you get to. You want to. Because God changes your heart. And all of those things that He commanded us to do, now we want to do. Because we love God and we want to please Him. That's the teaching of the New Testament. That's what the Bible is instructing us to do. When we love God with all of our heart, we want nothing more, nothing less than to please Him in all respects. To do what He... Just like anybody in the world that you love, you want to please that person. Your children, they want to please you. I know they're ornery sometimes, but I promise you, they really want to please you as the parents. They really do. They love you. And you as a parent, you want to shower blessings upon your children. You want to spoil them rotten. Sometimes we do. We go too far. But we do it because we love them. And we want them to have... Well, listen, when you love God... It's the same thing. You just want to please God. You want to do what's right in His sight. And the Bible tells us that in fact, just look over at 1 John. There's several verses that will say this, but I'll just take a minute to read one from 1 John chapter 5, I think is where I want to go. First John chapter 5, verse 3. John writes, he says, "For this is the love of God." Okay? This is what it looks like. This is what the love of God looks like. "We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." You ought to underline that part of that verse, at least in your Bible. The commandments are not burdensome. God is telling us there that when we love Him with all of our heart, the commandments are not a burden to keep. They are a delight to walk in. We want to keep the commandments. They're not a have to anymore. They're not a burden. They're a want to. They're a delight. They are a joy to us. Look over at Psalm 37. We'll rabbit trail a little further. Psalm 37, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Make it a habit. Make it a practice in your life. Continually do it." Cultivate faithfulness in your life. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Look at what he's telling us there. He says, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, listen, when it says there, he will give us the desires of our heart, it doesn't mean God's going to spoil you rotten. It's not what it's saying, okay? When he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, what it means is when we give ourselves completely to God, then he will change and give us proper desire for our heart. He'll take away desires from our heart that are not pleasing to him. He'll give us desire in our heart that is pleasing to him. The will to obey him and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the purpose, brother and sister, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To change us and transform us from within so that we are changed and transformed from glory to glory, faith to faith, grace to grace into the image of the Son of God. We begin to look more and more like Jesus as we go through life because God changes us from the inside and we desire to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Even those things that you think you can't. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm almost done. We've looked at this as well on Wednesday nights, a prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian believers that they might understand the love of God, be filled with the love of God, and be transformed by the power of God's love into a different person so that we look like Jesus, so that we love like Jesus. You know what? I'm going to ask you to hold Ephesians chapter 3 and back up to Galatians chapter 5. One book to your left, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Galatians 5 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. First, verse 23, against such things, that means that's not the end of the list. Okay? There are other things besides these that are mentioned here. But then he says in verse 22, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in every one of us. Okay? This divine fruit of the love of God so that we love people the way that God loves people. I got to look at another verse. Look over Colossians chapter 3. Hold Ephesians 4. Promise we're coming back. Or 5 or whatever I told you. Or 3. Okay, 3. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and other things. Okay? Look at Colossians chapter 3. We'll see some of those other things. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. There's one of the other things. Kindness. Well, that's one he's already mentioned. Humility. That's another one of the things. Gentleness. Patience. Well, they already mentioned those over in Galatians. Bearing with one another. Verse 13. Forgiving each other. That's another one of those things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. The ability to love and forgive the way God loves and forgives us. Look back over at Ephesians chapter 3. Let me top it off. Ephesians chapter 3. I just can't. No. But the Holy Spirit in you can, and He wants to and desires to, in order to change your life so that you can live abundantly with God. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God can do in you more than you can even dare to ask or think for Him to do. Even more than that, God can do it in you. That means, brother and sister, God can help you forgive the worst offender you have ever experienced in your entire life. God can help you forgive them. Now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, the Holy Spirit. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Let me just get real practical to you and wrap this up for you this morning, all right? Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. You've been offended. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's wounded you. Said something, done something, whatever, however long, whatever it is, whoever it is, here's what you're going to do. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to come before the Father with it. The first thing you're going to do is this. You're going to remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago, you're going to remember, as you begin to think about forgiving somebody else, and you keep going, well, I just can't forgive. First thing you want to do is you want to remember how much God has forgiven you. Okay? God has forgiven you of all of your sins for all of your life, far more than anybody has done against you. God has already forgiven you for far more. So the first thing you want to do is remember the forgiveness that you've received from the Lord, the mercy, the grace that He has shown to you. It'll help you to come to a place of humility in your heart and in your life. You're going to come to the Lord and you're going to remember what the Lord has done for you. You're going to remember your love for God, that you really do want to live in such a way that pleases God in everything that you do. Before God, you're going to be honest. How many of you realize you ought to just be honest with God? Quit trying to con God. Quit trying to manipulate God. God knows your heart better than you do. You're not pulling wool over His eyes, all right? You just need to be honest with God. You need to say, you know what, God? That person makes me so mad. God, I just hate that person for what they did to me. I hate them, God. And I don't want to forgive them. But God, I know that You want me to. I know to be pleasing in Your sight, I need to. And God, I can't do it myself. I can't do it myself. I've got to have Your help to get this done. Lord, if I'm going to forgive that person, You've got to change my heart. You've got to change me, Lord, because I don't want to forgive. You've got to help me let go. You've got to help me release this situation. Then that you're going to do this. Watch this. Listen. You're going to remember this. Forgiving is not about emotion. It's not about feeling. It's about a choice. It's about making a choice and purposing in your own heart, I will. I will. Now listen, God's got to give you the grace. God's got to give you. This is what it means to walk by grace. This is what it means to be under grace. What you can't do under the law when He says do it, now that you're under grace, and do it. Grace of God, the power of God to do the will of God. That's what grace is all about, brother and sister. Having God's power to do God's will that ordinarily you wouldn't want to do. You go to God and you say, Lord, I remember how much You've forgiven me. And Lord, I want to forgive that person. I want to forgive them because You want me. Not because I want to, but because You want me to forgive that person. Lord, I need Your help. I need You to change my heart. I make the choice to forgive, even against my own will. God, I choose it because it's Your will. I choose to forgive that person. And then you know what you need to do? You need to pray for that person. You need to pray for God's favor. Pray for God's grace. Pray for God's blessing on that person's life. Pray that that person is blessed in every area of their life. I guarantee you, you start praying for somebody else, even somebody who has offended you, it won't be long your heart will be turned. You begin to see that person the way God sees them. You begin to love that person the way that God loves them. You'll be able to forgive that person the way that God forgives them and wants you to forgive them. Now, my time is gone for today, and so we'll have to pick this up next week. Because here's what's going to happen, okay? And I know, because this is me, all right? You go through that. You remember who you are. You remember who God is. You remember what He's done for you. You remember what He's commanded. You tell Him you've got to have help. You make the choice. You make the decision. You decide. And you follow through by the words of your mouth, even if you have to do it by faith. You say it and you do it. I forgive. I make the choice to forgive. Even if it's not out of your will, but it's just by faith. I forgive. And you pray. And you bless that other person in prayer. You feel pretty good. You think you got over it. And in about 5 seconds, the devil's going to remind you what made you so mad in the first place. And you're going to get mad all over again. How do I deal with that? We're going to talk about that next Sunday morning. Father, thank You that You can help us to forgive everybody all the time, so that Your grace is not hindered in our lives, so that Your power flows freely in and through us to make us more like Jesus and more lovable and more loving like the Son of God. Thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit who changes our heart to give us the will to be obedient to You. Father, help us today to be completely surrendered to Your Holy Spirit. To not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but to surrender completely everything about our lives to You. And we thank You, Father, for the transformation that's taking place even now, the process that we're going through right now that will bring healing to our own heart, deliverance from depression and worry, insecurity in our own soul, rest and peace and joy for our soul. Father, You promise in the Word that Your desire is to restore our soul, to make us completely whole in every way. Help us today, Father. As I pray, would You take a moment right now? Maybe there's something going on in your life right now. Maybe there's something going on in your home and in your family. Something between you and parents or children or relatives close or near. Maybe husband and wife. Maybe there's something there that you haven't been willing to forgive. And that unforgiveness is causing friction and it's leading to destruction. That particular relationship, whatever it might be. Brother and sister, God wants to heal that. God wants to restore that. He wants to restore your heart and He wants to restore that relationship. But you must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in you. You must be willing to forgive. No matter what they've done, no matter how long they've been doing it, you must be willing to forgive. Father, speak to our hearts in these moments. I'm not going to ask you to do anything particularly personally this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody about anything that's going on in your life. I just want to say this to you today. This prayer is for you this morning if you're struggling with this issue of forgiveness or offense, or there are wounds and scars in your life where you need to be made whole and you need to release somebody for something they did to you or said about you. I just want you to know today there's freedom for you today. There's healing for your heart today as you release that offender through forgiveness. There's deliverance from depression and despair. There's peace and there's rest for your soul when you walk in a spirit of forgiveness and forgive other people the same way that Jesus has forgiven you. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray for myself this morning. I pray for all of us that we would learn the secret of forgiveness and release and freedom and victory that's ours in you when we love and forgive, even as we have been loved and been forgiven. Thank you for healing us today, Lord, for starting that process, that journey, that road to wholeness, fulfillment and satisfaction in life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us, even as we forgive those who have offended us. Would you stand together with me this morning and stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment? The Bible says He gives grace to the humble. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, when I acknowledged my weaknesses to the Lord, then He filled me with His ability. When you tell God you can't and open your heart to Him, He'll fill your heart with a can-do attitude, the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Father. Father, You've given us much to think about here this morning. I pray that over the course of these minutes together here today, You've spoken some truth that each one of us can take to heart, something that we can take with us from this service here today and apply it to our own lives and see You make a difference in our lives because of the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You in advance for it. We count it as done because we believe that what You've spoken will surely come to pass. So, Father, I pray that this time this morning has made a difference for all of us. And now, Lord, I trust that as we leave this place, we'll go to make a difference wherever You may lead us. Thank You, God, again for the people You brought to our church today. Lord, many not with us today, and You know what's up. You know where they are. Some are traveling. Some may be at home with illness. We pray for their healing today. We pray for safe travel and mercies for those on the road. We pray that You would bring them all safely back to us. Watch over and keep us now, Father, as we go our separate ways. Use us for the glory of Your kingdom in the week that's ahead. We thank You in advance for that as well. Through Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in Your presence day by day till Your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget choir practice tonight at 5 o'clock. Go out and make it a great day in the Lord. Got some new books on the book table, by the way, too, on your way out. Give them a check.